It is good to see everybody with us this morning. Is that okay? Or they can turn it down back there. So being that it's the last weekend of the month, I have an opportunity to bring a lesson to you. And it's a little bit different this morning because I actually was in our material, in our Bible class, we had this lesson and I kind of really expounded upon it and we kind of went about 2.5 class periods, and I was requested that I preach it. So it's going to be pretty condensed, and we got a lot of stuff to go over this morning. So bear with me. What I've done is I've put all the, if this thing will work, if I can figure it out, I've put all the passages we're going to be going through on the overhead, but I want to use the whiteboard here also this morning. And there's some emphasis in those passages, some different color wording that is my doing, not the actual scripture. So to get into that, I think I got to hit that. There we go. How does God reveal His will? You thought about that? You know, as we go through, we can read in Romans chapter 1 some parts of God. Some things about God. Romans chapter 1, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." So this passage teaches us, especially in verse 20, that since the creation, we can look around and we can understand some, and I use that word, some of the attributes of God. Here it says His eternal power and divine nature. I can see that, I can perceive that in looking around and seeing what He made. I can understand that there's an all-powerful God just by looking at the universe and seeing the order that it's in. I could see just recently, I think Casey posted on Facebook a little thing about how a baby is born and realize that there's got to be a designer behind that. But do I understand what God wants me to do through that? No. No, I don't. And going along with our theme this year of acquiring wisdom, in James 1 and verse 5 it says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him." So what is wisdom? Simply put, as we probably know in the Greek, it's the word Sophia. It means the application of knowledge. So what does that mean? So if I apply knowledge, I acquire wisdom. But how do I come to understand or get the knowledge that I need to know to be pleasing to God? That's our lesson this morning. How did God choose to reveal Himself, not in the creation, but within Scripture? There's a definite way that I think He went about, and that's what we'll go through this morning. So first off, we read in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, starting at verse 1, says, "God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways." So let's stop there. So we understand that there was a time when God spoke to the prophets in many portions and in many ways, and the fathers. He spoke to the patriarchs. He spoke through the judges. He spoke through different people in the Old Testament that we can read about. And He did that in many ways and in many portions. But notice what He goes on to say in these last days, verse 2, "has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, to whom also He made the world." So we understand that in these last days, we can read in Revelation about how these are the last days. This is the last dispensation of time. He speaks to us in His Son. And I'm going to put some writings up here, but you're going to have to cut me a little bit of slack. Because I'm really good at drawing, aren't I? So here we have God the Father. And I'm going to say that there's some distinctions made in Scripture, but I don't think that there's any distinction when it comes to God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These all make up the Godhead. But notice here that God says, and referring to God the Father, that in these last days He speaks to us, how? In His Son. In Matthew chapter 17, maybe we don't need to read all this, but the Transfiguration, what a glorious time. Peter, James, and John go up to this mountain. In verse 2 it says, He was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun. This is talking about Jesus. And His garments became white as light, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared. And it goes on in verse 4, and Peter answered and said, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If You wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for You and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while He was still speaking, notice that, when He was still speaking, what happens? Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. To Jesus. That's how God is revealing Himself to us. In John 8, verse 26 through 28, Jesus speaking here says, I have many things to speak and to judge concerning You, but He who sent Me is true, and the things which I hear from Him, these I speak to the world. Did you catch that? The things, see if I can hear, I can see it from here. The things which I heard from Him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that He had been speaking to them about the Father. Jesus therefore said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on My own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught Me. God's will is coming to us through Jesus Christ. What does He say? Do nothing on My own initiative, but I speak the things that the Father taught Me. In John 12, Jesus speaking again, says, For I did not speak on My own initiative, but the Father Himself who has sent Me has given Me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that His commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told Me. What did Hebrews 1 say? That in these last days He's spoken to us through His Son. That's the way God chose to do it. John 7, verse 16, Jesus therefore answered them and said, My teaching is not Mine, but His who sent Me. Jesus' words comes through the Father. But where do we go from there? Jesus promises in John 14, Jesus speaking again, John 14, starting verse 25. It says, These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Now we have God, however you want to put this, the Holy Spirit is going to do what? It says He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance what? All that I said to you. Jesus speaking to His apostles here. You can pick up that context in chapter 13 of John, where it starts with the Lord's Supper and Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He's talking to the apostles. So the promise He's given here, notice a couple things. Okay? Jesus is promising this Holy Spirit to the apostles, and what does he say? He will teach you all things. Do you believe that? Sadly, tragically, there's people in our society today that say that God is continuously revealing himself. It's a doctrine of continual revelation. If you believe that, Jesus was incorrect. Because Jesus just promised that the Holy Spirit would guide these apostles into what? All things. If he didn't do that, and if God is still revealing today, then Jesus was mistaken. And he's also saying that he would bring to their remembrance all that I said to you. So the apostles had the Holy Spirit to bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus taught them. Another passage within the same context, just a couple chapters over, but it's still the same context. Jesus speaking to his disciples. Notice what he says in verse 12. I have many more things to say to you now, but you cannot bear them now. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So there's other things that Jesus wanted to teach his apostles. But what does he say? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into what? All the truth. And he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take a mind, shall disclose it to you. So what's the Holy Spirit doing? He's getting it from Jesus, who got it from God. And notice once again that he will guide them into all the truth. That's a promise that Jesus made to disciples, and that's what the Holy Spirit was to do. If we have continuous revelation today, that's a false statement. And one other. So moving on. So then how did the apostles deal with this? In Ephesians chapter 3, picking up in verse 3, it says, and by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. So let's stop here. So now we have the Holy Spirit directing the apostles. And we're going to see. Okay, what does it say? And that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. What did that just teach us? That by revelation, what happens? It was revealed to who? The holy apostles and prophets. We understand who the apostles are. Who are the prophets? We have inspired writers within the New Testament that were not apostles. Luke. James. That's what's being referred to here. So what happens is Holy Spirit is going to reveal to the apostles and the prophets. That's what it says. And how did it come about? Through revelation. What does that mean? In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 16... kind of a lengthy reading, but it's so important. Notice what it says. For we did not... Who's the we? As you go through Scripture, it just amazes me that so many times, especially Paul, but a lot of the writers, they use the word we referring to this group of people. Because there's a distinction in some of the writings where they're talking about you and the church at Corinth and da-da-da-da, and then it gets into the we. But here it says, for we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is Peter speaking. Through inspiration of God, he was an eyewitness of the majesty of Christ. And what did he say? They didn't do it through cleverly devised tales, da 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 da. Notice verse 17, for when he received honor and glory from God, he's talking about Jesus Christ, we're going to see that here in a second. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's quoting the passage of when Jesus was there, when he was there at the Transfiguration. What did God say? This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. And what does it say in verse 16? That he was an eyewitness to this. Peter was. Verse 18, we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain at the Transfiguration. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Is their speech authoritative? Sure. We know that God's is. We know that God, Jesus didn't speak on his own initiative, but he spoke what he heard from God. We know that's authoritative. The Holy Spirit didn't speak on his own initiative, but he took from the words of Jesus. So when the Holy Spirit gives it to these individuals, what does it say? But men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. That's what we have. When they spoke the will of God. But going on from that, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here's that idea of we or us once again. Paul speaking here, it says, for to us, talking about the same group, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. And it's really talking about wisdom if you we're breaking in the context. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Think about that for a second. Who knows you besides God? You do. I know myself better than anybody else here. I can hide things better. No, I'm just kidding. But isn't that right? I mean, I know myself, right? The Spirit that's within me, I knows me, right? Isn't that what it said? For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, notice the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world. The apostles didn't receive, the inspired men didn't receive the Spirit of the world. They didn't receive this influence of people of the world, but what? But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we what? We also speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those what? Taught by the Spirit. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The words that they used were whose words? The Spirit's. Good gravy. Why would we even think about studying the Greek or Hebrew if these aren't the words that God chose to use? God chose to use those words, and that's why I study the Greek. Because that's the word that God chose to use. If it's just an interpretation, if it's just by human wisdom, why would I want to study the words? It would do me no good. What does it say? They're taught by the Spirit. Verse 13 again, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. The thoughts and the words of these individuals verbalized, and we're going to go on from that, were what? Taught by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Moving on. One more passage in this referring to that. 1 John chapter 4. It says, we're from God. He who knows God listens to us. Why would I listen to the apostles? Because their words were taught by God, by the Holy Spirit. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So if we listen to what these individuals had to say, they're authoritative because they came from the Holy Spirit, which came from the Son of God, which came from God the Father. But what else is authoritative in their lives? In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul speaking here, notice what he says. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now we can go down from this. So one of the things that the scriptures teach us is we have an example. Or pattern. So if I look at the example, at the pattern of what these apostles did, are they authoritative? If I look at the apostles and understand that if I do, you know, if I see where the church met on the first day of the week, is that authoritative? If these individuals are doing it? Yeah. Absolutely. So God is directing their actions. Does that make sense? So this is authoritative. So I read in scripture, like, you know, whatever, Acts 20 and verse 7. Met on the first day of the week to break bread. Is that authoritative for me? Yeah, God authorized that. How'd he do it? Right on through. Notice another passage, Philippians chapter 4. Paul speaking again. The things, notice what he says, you have learned and received and heard and what? Seen in me. Heard, learned, received, heard, seen in me. Practice these things and the God of peace shall be with you. What, if we want the God of peace with us, what do? We practice the example that we have that is authoritative through what the apostles did. What the prophets did. We go by the actions. We can look at that and have authority for that. Moving on. What else did they do? Going back to Ephesians chapter 3, where they're earlier and you're probably saying, well, there's a lot of good stuff there. Don't move away from that. We're coming back. Ephesians 3, we already read it. That by revelation it was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. And that by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ. Notice a couple things. What did they do? What else did they do? They wrote. Isn't that right? What does it say in verse 3? As I wrote before in brief. And I'm going to put another one here because I didn't put it here. So when they spoke, or they would speak, this is authoritative. When they would do something, this is authoritative. Now Paul refers us here that what? That by revelation, as we talked about, is God breathed, God speaking through the Holy Spirit to them, right? There was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight in the mystery of Christ. They wrote things down. Is this authoritative? Absolutely. Which in other generations were not made known to the sons of men. As has now been revealed to what? To his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. All of these are authoritative. When I listen to what they spoke, which I don't do. We don't do because we're too, not that old. Right? When I listen to that, is there authority when they're being inspired by God? Yes. Is there authority in following their example? Yes. Is there authority in reading what they wrote so that I can understand the mystery of Christ? Yes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Notice what it says. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by what? Word of mouth or letter from us. Word of mouth or letter. Isn't that right? This is the authoritative. That's how God reveals himself. Notice what the churches were directed to do with these writings. Colossians 4 and verse 16. And it says, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. What did they do? They shared these letters. So when one church received a letter, if Colossae received a letter, what were they to do? They were to share it with the church in Laodicea. So what is it, was that authoritative? Whatever the apostles or prophets wrote, being inspired by God, and it applied to the Colossians, and it also applied to the Laodiceans, that's the indication. Why would we share a letter if it didn't apply to them? So when I read 1 Corinthians and I understand that it's written to the church at Corinth, does it apply to the church on Queen Way? Same thing. It's authoritative. Very much so. I can get the teaching from that. Just like they did, just like we had in biblical times. So what about these writings? Do we hold them in high esteem? I sure hope so. The Bible does. New Testament does. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Notice what it says here. If anyone thinks he is a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are what? Are the Lord's commandments. Is this authoritative? The things that were written, the writing, is the Lord's command. It's the Lord's commandment. Another passage to go along with that in 1 John chapter 2. It says, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Catch that? If we keep his commandments. We talked about this verse in class this morning. If we keep his commandments, come to know him. But as it goes on to say, the one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. And whoever keeps his what? His word. So notice the connection to where the commandments are his word. So these letters are the commandments. It's God's word. That's how we get it. That's how the apostles could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, therefore we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador? An ambassador is one who speaks for somebody else. Isn't that right? We have ambassadors for our country and other countries of the world. They speak for us. They represent us. What are they saying? Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. They're ambassadors. Spokespersons for God. Inspired. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm lost. See, one little glitch and it just... Oh, that easy, huh? I knew I would have done something, but I lost everything. Thanks for your info. I got 5 minutes. Okay. Okay, so therefore they were ambassadors. So with that, think about one little statement, huge statement that Jesus made. Matthew chapter 4. Remember when Jesus was tempted? What did he say? devil is tempting him. He says, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now we can see, oh, you're going to give me another 30 minutes. Good, I'm going to need it. Thank you. Okay, see what he's saying? So put that all into the mix that we are now to live on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But how did we get it? This is the pattern that we have in Scripture. This is the way that, as I mentioned earlier, I can understand looking at this world, this universe, that there's a God. But I can't understand His will, but God has made it available to me this way. And therefore, that's why I think what Jesus was referring to, that we don't live on physical bread only, but on what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That should also connect when we read this very well-known passage. What does it say? Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I'm going to get in trouble here now, but it's okay. Study the words. I know the King James says the word of God. It's not theos. That's not the Greek word here. It's Christos. So when the King James translates this, the word of God, it's specifically referring to Christ. That's the rendering of it. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The words of Christ. What does Hebrews chapter 1 say? God, after he spoke long ago, da-da-da-da-da, speaking what? In his Son. That's why my faith is built by doing what? By hearing the words of Christ. How do I do that? By reading the Scripture. Then you probably thought I'd never go to this verse, but I will. So put all this into this mix. 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is inspired by God. How much of it? All of it. That's what we're taught. Now we're taught. This is Scripture. All Scripture is inspired by God. What does it mean to be inspired? It means to be God-breathed. So this is the breath of God. Isn't it? And profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. This is all we need. I don't need human doctrines. I don't need human creeds. I don't need anything else. If I want to get to the point to where I want the breath of God, what do? I read the Scripture. But do we do that? So now you're going to really get after me, because I'm going to give you two translations here. One that I just beat up and another one. So therefore, if you go into 2 Timothy chapter 2, the King James Version says, study to show thyself approved unto God. New American Standard says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. How am I to handle this? What am I to do with this? If this is God's breath, which it is, what am I going to do with it? Am I going to study it? If faith come by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, which I get right here, am I going to study it? Am I going to be, as it says, you know, to be diligent, to be approved to God as a workman that what? Handles accurately the word of truth. How do I handle this? Do you know your Bibles? If you've been a Christian for 30 years, you don't know your Bibles, there's a problem. Isn't that right? Are we studying God's Word? Are we studying the breath of God? That's what we have in the writings. So hopefully, I got through a little quicker than I thought I was going to get through. Okay? Hopefully you understand this is the way God has chosen to reveal His will to us. There's other ways that He reveals His power to us. But this is how I know what God wants me to do. So how about you? Are we understanding this pattern? And more importantly, are we studying so we can understand what God's will is for us? And I'll go back by way of invitation to the passage we already hit about the transfiguration. Here's what God said. Transfiguration, Matthew 17, while they're still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice from the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Am I listening to him? Are you listening to him? Can we assume, which I think we can, that the way that we listen to God is by studying the scripture? Does God reveal himself to me just miraculously? No. But he does reveal himself to me through this process. Right? So if I don't study the scripture, am I going to understand what God's will is for me? I've talked to individuals in my life, and you probably have too, individuals that say, oh, I have a great faith in God. Oh, you study the Bible. Oh, no, I don't study the Bible. How can you have faith in God if you don't study the Bible? Well, I believe that there's a God, and I can go up on the mountain and worship him and do everything I want to do. You know, Romans 10:17 says, what? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, or the word of Christ. You don't study the word of Christ, you don't have godly faith. That's a bold statement. But it's true. If you haven't studied God's word and get faith from it, your faith is not godly. God said, this is my beloved Son with whom I want to please. Listen to him. Don't listen to anybody else. Other people will draw you away. Satan certainly has an influence in our culture and every culture to draw us away from God. That's going to happen if we don't listen to him. If I don't listen to him. There's things that I change all the time in my life. Come to a better understanding. Right, Mike? Right, Casey? Come to a better understanding. People bring things to us or whatever. We're thankful for that. Where we change. We need to listen to this. This is God's word. This is how God chose to reveal himself to us. Hopefully we've just proved that in the lesson. This is what you got to listen to. Don't listen to me unless I'm coming out of here. Just listen to this. Think about that. Think about your relationship with God. Think about how glorious it is that God chose to do this so that we can have God's will in written form. How marvelous it is for us to have the Bible. What's your life about? Are you listening to Jesus like God tells you to? Or are you following after your own will? If you're a Christian and you haven't been listening to him like you should, please contemplate that. Think about that. If we can do anything to help you, please come forward as we'll stand and sing our invitation song.